The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Thursday to you. This is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And one of my favorite times every year is the Grace Evangelical Society's National Bible Conference. This is something that you can take part in. You can find out more about our National Bible Conference by going to our website, faithalone.org, and click on events. We are in a series called The 10 Plagues of Egypt, and it's been very interesting. Now, today's plague that we're going to discuss is darkness. Have you ever experienced intense darkness? I know that I have, but I can't even imagine the stifling darkness that we find in Scripture. Well, that is what Dr. Bob Wilkins, Sean Lazar, and our special guest, David Renfro, are going to discuss. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show, where we're having a good time going over the bad times of Egypt, right? The plagues of Egypt. We don't really understand it. Sometimes you hear this from the children's stories, you know, and you don't really realize how horrible this was. This was utter devastation of Egypt's economy, way of life, ability to feed itself, commerce, damage to the infrastructure, the animals, the crops, everything is being destroyed. And I mean, it was so terrible. Even Pharaoh's servants finally say in chapter 10, verse 7, "Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed?" And so this devastation was absolutely horrible. And the servants wanted to let people go, but Pharaoh didn't. But interestingly, Pharaoh didn't because we keep on hearing that God hardened his heart. God had a point to make.
Or he hardened his own heart.
Right.
At the beginning.
Yeah, a couple of notes on the previous plague. I just want to point this out. In verse 19 of chapter 10, this is when the Lord got rid of the locust plague. It says, "There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt." Mm. Now, here in Texas, how would you guarantee that there was not one grasshopper in the entire state?
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
Who can do something like that?
God can do it. Yeah.
That's the point. Only the Creator, Sovereign God can do that. And I just thought it was very interesting. The other thing is that is an attack against a very important Egyptian god, Osiris. Which is the god of crops and fertility.
Ah, okay.
So, just wanted to point that out to you as well.
Yes, and that's part of one of the things we've been saying, that these plagues all connect to Egyptian deities and show
Correct.
That God is sovereign over them.
They think that those gods and goddesses are sovereign over their particular area, and there were dozens of them, as you know.
Yeah.
The Lord is saying, "I'm Lord over all of them, and they can't do a thing about it." That's the interesting thing. They cannot start the plague. They cannot stop the plague.
Right.
It's fascinating. And the same thing is true here in plague number 9 with darkness.
Now, this is a weird one. They've gone from being irritations, kind of personal irritations, to absolutely devastating on a national scale. And you'd think that, okay, it's going to get even. I mean, what's worse than giant hail just destroying everything? This darkness comes, and it's just kind of, it's interesting. It's not a normal darkness. It's not like, you know, you get a cloudy sky, and it's like, oh, it's kind of like you might be dark in Alaska for half of the year or something like that. Right. This is different. This is tangible darkness. This is something you can feel, apparently.
Yeah.
Here's what it says in verse 21. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt.'"
A couple of things on that verse. Number one, we're talking about darkness in a land where the sun always shines.
Oh, yeah.
Think of the irony there. The other one is, remember, this is the last of the third group of plagues, so there's no announcement. It just happens. There's no warning.
Yeah.
You think that might cause a little terror in the eyes of the Egyptians?
Yeah, and it lasted for 3 hours. Oh, no, wait a minute. Wasn't it 3 days?
It was 3 days. Yeah, it's an interesting thing that it says it's a darkness which may be felt. Personal experience, one time we went to Carlsbad Caverns, me and my family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've been there.
And when you're in this cavern and they turn off the lights, that's the closest to what this is about. Because there is no source of light anywhere several seconds. I can't imagine 3 days.
That is a great illustration. I remember going, I forget which one we went to with the kids, and they turned off the lights that they had installed in there. And it was, yeah, darkness unlike anything you could ever even imagine. I remember holding my daughter's Scout's hand, and she started to tremble, and she just grabbed onto my leg, and she started having a panic attack.
Right.
You know, she started breathing, because it was more than just like, you know, when it's dark in your room and you have still the moon and the stars and maybe your nightlight. The utter darkness was right. just causing a physical reaction.
Can you imagine, they're just like that person you're talking about, can you imagine how many Egyptians had panic attacks?
Mm.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now it's affecting their health.
And we always talk about being afraid of the dark. And of course, in Scripture, darkness is associated with evil and with calamity, judgment.
Another point, you know, verse 23, it says, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. I think that's interesting. Jesus was in the tomb for how long?
Yeah.
Yeah, three days.
And that was probably an oppressive darkness, too.
Mm.
I think also the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. In other words, the Israelites were exempt from this, just like the previous plague.
Yeah.
Once again, the Lord is showing a distinction between the Egyptians and his covenant people, the Israelites.
Yeah, and we don't know how God stopped the Egyptians from having light in their dwellings. In other words, couldn't they light fires or something? Well, the answer is no, God didn't allow it.
No, the Lord miraculously, if you want to put it that way, sovereignly overruled the rules of nature. You take a match and you light wood. Well, that didn't work during these 3 days.
Right. So Pharaoh now, I want to say he seems convinced. You know, he calls to Moses and he says, go serve the Lord, verse 24, but leave your animals back here, right?
Yeah.
And Moses is like, no, we're going to do some sacrifices, and our livestock is coming with us. And verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go.
There we go again. It's interesting. I think at this point, Pharaoh really wants the Israelites to go, but he says, oh, let me reword verse 24. Every Israelite can go, but I get to keep your money.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
you can go, but you're leaving your bank accounts with us.
That's right.
And then these are kind of great, two great one-liners. I can kind of see this in an action movie or something. In verse 28, Pharaoh said to him, get away from me, take heed yourself, and see my face no more. From the day you see my face, you will die. So Pharaoh's like, don't ever come to me again. If I see your face again in this town, I'm going to kill you. And then Moses says, I love this one-liner, you've spoken well, I will never see your face again. And so it's like there's something final here that, yeah, you're right. You're never going to see me again.
That's right.
Because God's going to do something. Well, we said that there's 10 plagues. There's 3 cycles of 3. But then the 10th plague is more personal, more personally devastating than
Absolutely.
All the other ones.
And it's devastating in a lot of ways, too. Let me mention the Egyptian gods and goddesses here. First of all, I mentioned the one before, Ra, the sun god. He was one of the chief gods in the Egyptian pantheon, if you will, because, you know, look at the power of the sun in Egypt. It warms the crops. It gives light. It gives, you know, life, if you will.
Yeah.
It is one of the most, if not the most important god in all of Egypt.
Right.
And then you have a
goddess. So darkness shows that Ra is not sovereign.
No, he's not. Especially when he says it's dark for 3 days, everybody knows you at night it's dark, except for fires and stuff like
that. Well, you have a moon, but even that was blocked out during this 3 days.
Too, yeah.
And stars, all that was blocked out.
It was, yeah, this is imposition of darkness over the land of Egypt, and only them. And Ra, the most powerful Egyptian god, could do nothing about it.
Interesting. I don't know if you've studied this, David, but there was a period in Egyptian history where one of the pharaohs wanted to impose a type of monotheism on the country. It was worship of the sun god. And I want to say the pharaoh was Akhenaten. I'm not quite sure. Does that sound right to you?
That's pretty close. But it's a several decades later than what this happened. Maybe a century or thereabouts.
Right. But even then, it's the sun is our god. And then the Hebrew, the true god, the Jewish god, is saying, no, I'm even sovereign over that. That is a creature.
That is a creature.
You know, not the creator. That's a creature, and I'm sovereign over it.
One thing they don't do, that Pharaoh didn't do here, and maybe this is an undertone to all of these plagues, but how many times in Christian history has, especially like during the Roman times, you can believe anything you want. You want to believe in Jesus, fine, but you got to also believe that I'm a God.
Right.
You have to worship me. In other words, worship both of us.
Right. It was inclusive. It's like, we don't care who you worship so long as you just... We'll add you to our group of gods, or right. you can, as long as you add us to your group of gods.
And I'm thinking
we'll be
that's
inclusive.
An undertone to Pharaoh. Yeah, if you want to worship this Yahweh, you know, knock yourself out.
Mm.
But worship me too.
Yeah.
And the first century Christians, the reason they were thrown to the lion is, we worship Jesus, but we will not worship you. That was a crime worthy of death in Roman times.
Right. Interestingly, the first atheists were Christians. The Christians were called atheists because they said all these gods don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, I'm an atheist with respect to 99% of the religions in the world.
That's right.
I don't think your gods exist. I think they're totally made up.
I completely agree.
Except for the one God. I believe in the one God, but I'm an atheist with respect to all the other ones.
Yeah, we talk about Ra as a god or Osiris or these other ones, but ultimately we know throughout the whole Old Testament that God says there are no other gods,
mm-hmm.
that these are just the idols they made. They don't speak. They don't move. They have no power. And so all the gods they have, like Sean says, we don't believe in them.
Right.
I mean, at most, they'd be demonic. You know,
right.
Let me go over a couple of more points here. Number one, there's a sky goddess named Hathor, H-A-T-H-O-R. So now we have an attack against Ra, the sky god, or the sun god, and Hathor, which is the sky goddess.
Mm.
The Lord is showing that he has power over all religious forces of all the pagans, and controls nature. I think that's the purpose of this plague. The other lesson I think applies to all of us, knowing that the Lord is in absolute control of all things, including the evil world system, that enables us and should motivate us to persevere in godly living and obedient worship.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for those thoughts, David. In the next episode, we're going to be going over plague number 10, highly significant. I encourage you to keep on listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website, and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss the 10th plague, the death of the firstborns. So, join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.